This podcast is scheduled for one fall. Now residing in the Quad Cities, Dave in the QC. And his tag team partner from Rochester, New York, this is RJ. Today's episode is powered by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And make sure you tell them that RJ from the Ringside Rant sent you in how you heard about Podgo section of your application. It is Friday. It is 9 o'clock. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant. I'm the man with the magic voice, RJ, here with a very, we'll say very good looking this week, Dave in the QC. Dave, what's up, man?
I'm good looking now? Sweet.
Wait, I'm sure that's really what you're trying to go for today, having me tell you that you're good looking. Not your wife or anybody else, but me. That's all that matters. But
yeah, I'm gonna tell my wife she's slacking.
Oh man, so what's how you been all week? Busy?
Yeah, staying busy. Work's got me going crazy. Ad-free shows, Zoom chats keep me busy. Kids, NCAA tournament. You know how it is. Got to gamble on everything. So just making sure I'm glued to the TV, pulling for these final scores I need.
You and me both.
Much luck on.
You and me both, my friend. I haven't won crap since the first round with the pool we're in. But it's like we were talking before. It's forces us to watch these games outside of the first few months of the season for the NCAA basketball. But now it's like, now it's coming down to nitty gritty, and your team just lost last night, right? FSU, or was that 2 nights ago?
Yeah, they lost 2 days ago. I North Carolina and FSU. And North Carolina didn't even show up for their tournament game, and
yeah, they got bounced in the first round.
Florida State got punched in the mouth pretty early and was making a comeback till MJ Walker got hurt. And once he was hurt, they were fucked. So yeah, they were 5 down when he got hurt and lost by 19 real quick. So as soon as he got hurt, it was done.
Who'd they lose to?
Michigan.
Yeah, they're strong.
Michigan's getting ready to play UCLA.
That's gonna be a good game. It's because now where do they go for the Final Four? Do they stay there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, everything's in Indianapolis.
Oh, it is? Okay. I didn't know if they travel. I didn't think they traveled anywhere, but they go to what, Lucas Oil or something?
I think so.
Yeah. Have you ever been there before? That's a huge stadium.
No, I was thinking about making the trip next weekend if Florida State made it, but since they didn't, I'll skip.
How close is that to you? That can't be that far from you.
Yeah, 4 hours or so.
That's not too bad.
Nah.
Nice quick trip. So this week, we're going to take a nice quick trip down memory lane for a lot of people today. We're going to be covering WrestleMania 7, a pay-per-view, my first WrestleMania that I saw. This is your favorite WrestleMania, Dave. I figure we mix it up a little bit, kind of hit that nostalgic feels for everybody. What was your first... before we send it up to the ring with Rich, what was your first impression of WrestleMania?
Well, it's not my favorite WrestleMania, but okay, it is one of my favorite WrestleManias.
Yeah.
But this is a good one. I like this WrestleMania. It's up there with 17 is by far my favorite. And I really liked 5. So 17, 5, 7, those are good ones. So it's good. I really like watching these older ones. They get better with time, I think. It's just mm-hmm. as we'll talk on this show, some of the things that we notice about it and how wrestling differs from, you know, back then to today. Right. So it's glaringly obvious, and it's something that we'll discuss here shortly.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's go up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
Ringside Rant fans, it is now time for RJ and Dave to throw down their opinions on what's hot around the world of professional wrestling. And is scheduled for a 10-minute time limit. It's the opening contest.
Well, thank you to the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Rich Palladino, for that. So with our opening contest here, Dave, WrestleMania 7 was supposed to originate, from the LA Coliseum in California. There's a lot of rumor innuendo out there that's saying that the poor tickets contributed to it. The lack of draw for the card contributed to it. And I know our Bruce Prichard talked about this on Something to Wrestle With. What says you? What do you really think was the culprit of the WrestleMania being moved from an outdoor event from the Coliseum to the sports arena?
I'm not really sure. I never really looked into it all that much. You know, I know the stories that it was supposed to be held at the Coliseum and then it was moved indoors. And WWF has stated, or WWE now, has stated the lack of security or having to pay for the security themselves, especially with the volatile, you know, way of the world at that time. And then the character of Sergeant Slaughter, where you obviously could have some issues. But I'm not really sure. It's one of those things, though, that I don't really care. You know, Meltzer's made his claims. Other people have made differing claims. Some people have made the exact same claims of there were no ticket sales. There was this, that, and the other. It's not something I really give a shit about. So it's not my problem. WWE literally sold out. I mean, look how many people they put in for WrestleMania 3. Mm-hmm. Look how many people they put in the building for WrestleMania 6. Okay, they did it different with WrestleMania 7. Then they turn around WrestleMania 8 and go to Indianapolis or wherever they were for that one and fill that one up too.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's they couldn't draw. So it's there. This was a, you know, other than your top matches, this was a pretty lackluster card. But I don't really know. I mean, there was a lot of hate there for Sergeant Slaughter, and Hulkamania was still in its prime. And going back and watching this pay-per-view, I mean, the crowd was pretty damn hot for this thing. So,
oh yeah,
say what you want. I'd rather have a hot crowd than a huge crowd that's dead. So I know that much for sure.
Yeah, because Dave Meltzer reported in the Observer newsletter that between 11,900 and 15,000 tickets were sold before the move actually was made. So that goes to show you that, okay, well, maybe the poor ticket response played into it a little bit, but I'm still leaning towards what you were talking about as far as the national security, because this is during the first Persian Gulf War. And having such a storyline like they did with Sergeant Slaughter being their Iraqi sympathizer and Hogan being Mr. America pretty much before he actually became Mr. America. But I really think a little bit of everything played into it, I think. And they finally saw the writing on the wall and said, hey, maybe we should really move this inside, because even if you did sell that out at the Coliseum, you're going to have to get a lot of security. Because even in 91, this was a security issue. It's not like today where all these fans and whatnot, and you have to have this huge security force to come in and take care of it.
Well, and also back in those days, the cities that they put WrestleMania in weren't really bidding for it like they do now. I'm sure all that stuff's put into the contracts now. So, you know, cities have to actually go through and bid, and WrestleMania chooses where they're going, just like the Super Bowl does. These cities go in and spend a lot of money just to get it coming to their city because of the economic impact that it has on them. So, and that wasn't the case back in these days. So a little bit different. I'm sure nowadays, you know, the security details and all that stuff's going to be put in place, you know, as part of the package.
Well, that now more so nowadays too, because I think, and this is just my opinion, I don't know if it's actually happening or not, but security teams are probably there all week just checking the stadium out, especially take Tampa, for example. They're probably down there and checking every inch of that stadium out to make sure that nothing is there, everything's secure. Like, I may be wrong, but I think that's the tell of the times that we're in right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a logistical nightmare for people like us to even think about, but I'm sure they have something in place and they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
So another thing I wanted to touch on too is a friend of the show, Amy, wanted to see what your thoughts were about with yourself being a veteran that you are of the service. How did you, not so much then, obviously, but more so now, look at this storyline, this whole main event thing with Sergeant Slaughter, as far as an Iraqi sympathizer? Do you, what were your thoughts on it?
It didn't bother me then, and it doesn't bother me now. It's, I don't take wrestling that serious. It's something that I enjoy, and I look at it like I'm watching a TV show or a movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that the real Sergeant Slaughter isn't an Iraqi sympathizer and wishing ill will towards America. So it's not something that I really put too much thought and effort into even worrying about. It's entertainment. I didn't mind it then, as a huge Hulkamaniac, you wanted to see Hogan slay the foreign foe, whatever the case may be, especially, with that. And I kind of look at it as, you think back to it, who was left for Hogan to slay? So if they're not going the route of Hogan Ultimate Warrior 2, I mean, this is kind of the next big thing that you can get, or else you're going to get, Hogan Macho Man again.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want Hogan Macho Man for the second time in 2 years or 3 years, I guess, five, skip six, then have it in seven? You can have Hogan Warrior, back-to-back years, or you could do something different and try it with Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. So I think Sergeant Slaughter was a little past his prime at the time, but I think what they were going for and what they got, it worked out pretty good. I cringe when I think of a chic tugboat like Bruce Pritchard has talked about in the past, and obviously the name probably wouldn't have been Chic Tugboat, but I don't think he could really wrestle himself out of a wet paper bag. So I can only imagine just how god awful that match would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I would gladly take the Sergeant Slaughter type heel gimmick over that any day, that's for sure. But I'm not sure the right answer wasn't to go with Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan 2 as well, though.
Yeah, you got to go. And I think at this time, they're just trying to go whatever was going to draw money, who's going to draw those people to buy the tickets, buy the pay-per-view. When you were talking about Chic Tugboat, I was also thinking about all these other heels that we could have in place of this. And there was only one guy that really stood out to me anyways, that they weren't really doing a lot with, was the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I know he was more on his way out at this time and wasn't really doing much.
He wasn't really on his way out, but his star storyline, wasn't as bright as it was three years earlier.
Because I think at this time he was doing stuff with Macho Man, I believe. Well, previous to this.
No, he was doing this.
Oh, Virgil.
With Virgil in this
Virgil,
one.
Virgil, that's what it was. Because
he was feuding with Virgil and Roddy Piper.
Right.
But that's what right. I would like to have seen was, I think it would have been better if you didn't get that tournament in WrestleMania 4. And I think they kind of went with the tournament in WrestleMania 4 just to get another Hogan Andre out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, Hogan lost the belt and didn't have to really lose. It was a weird finish, with the evil crooked twin referee. But I really think they just kind of did it. They got the Hogan Andre match in the second round. That was a double DQ or whatever the case may be. And it was able to put the title on Macho Man, but I would have rather have seen them let it go and let Million Dollar Man have actually bought the belt from Andre.
Mm-hmm.
And then lose it to Macho Man at WrestleMania. That makes more sense to me than just splitting it up and having the tournament.
You mean buy it before? It was WrestleMania 5 that they had it, right?
No, it was WrestleMania 4.
Oh,
so
it's 4. Okay. So buy it before him.
Andre beat Hogan with the crooked ref.
Right.
And then immediately sold the belt to the Million Dollar Man. And then that's when they put the belt on or put the belt up
in the tournament.
Tournament was created for WrestleMania 4. So I would rather have them actually let him be the WWF champion at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps lose the belt to Macho Man. You know, you could have gotten a series of matches out of that. But I think everything back then, everything just revolved around Hogan Andre. So you had Hogan Andre at WrestleMania 3. You had Hogan Andre at the Saturday night's main event. You had Hogan Andre again at WrestleMania 4. And then you had Andre and the Million Dollar Man versus Hulk Hogan and Macho Man at SummerSlam in the tag match. So then you go to Survivor Series and you got, you know, Hogan and Andre are lined up on different teams there. So at that time, everything is revolving around Hogan Andre.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would have been better to just let Hogan Andre kind of fizzle out and let's really see Macho Man and Andre, Macho Man and the Million Dollar Man and things of that nature, and build things a little bit more organically that way instead of everything revolving around Hogan Andre.
Because WrestleMania 5, that was like 89, 88.
WrestleMania 5 was 89. That's Hogan 89. And Macho Man.
Yeah. Okay.
Mega Powers Explode.
Yeah. So, yeah, this time you can't really plug anybody in. Like you said, it was really revolving around Hogan at that time. And I would have absolutely loved to see him do a lot more with Savage, just being a Macho Man fan that I am and was. They didn't really want to take as many chances like they do nowadays. With a lot of these guys and gals.
Well, I mean, you had your proven winner with Hogan.
Right.
And he was the draw. But they obviously went with Savage in 88 as the champion all the way, you know, he held it for a year going up to 89.
Mm-hmm. But, you know.
And then Hogan held it for a year before losing it to Warrior. And then I think the reason, you know, the whole reasoning was Hogan was kind of supposed to pass the torch to Warrior.
And that kind of numbers started
to dwindle. So yeah. They had to bring Hogan back.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have seen Hogan get his win back from Warrior at WrestleMania 7 over Hogan right. versus Sergeant Slaughter. But I don't have a problem with the Sergeant Slaughter thing either. I mean, I'd have been okay if it was Hogan Macho Man as well. If like Macho Man had beaten Ultimate Warrior at Royal Rumble instead of Sergeant Slaughter. Just something different.
Yeah. This is one of the. Like I said before, this is one of the WrestleManias that I truly go back. He hit the nostalgic feels on this too. But do you think with this whole last comment on this Slaughter and Hogan match, because I'm sure we'll touch on it a little bit later too, but do you think that Slaughter is going to be more remembered as the American hero or as the Iraqi sympathizer? With fans from that era, guys like you and I
think it really just depends on the era.
Yeah. Because
I mean, you know, the people that are older than us and watch Sergeant Slaughter from the late 70s, early 80s, they'll probably remember the American hero Sergeant Slaughter. Mm-hmm. But when you have people our age, you know, we remember that played such a big part in our childhood. And mm-hmm. even though it was only a year or so that he was with the company in that role, it was such a major role and so controversial.
Mm-hmm.
That I really think that's what people will mainly remember him from, because that's what I remember him from the most. And that's the best gimmick that I think he had.
That,
you know, kind of goes back to Amy's question earlier where it just doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I liked that they're willing to do that. Yeah. You know, you probably can't have something like that these days.
Oh, not even close. No. Well, we saw that era of with Muhammad Hassan. When everything with the 9/11, the terrorists, with all that happened back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And I
that
think
didn't really happen.
Pulled the plug too early on that too. They could have gotten rid of the terrorist kind of ties with the people in the black mass or whatever that came out with them. And just right. you could have the Muslim character, Muhammad Hassan. And not, you know, you could even have Daivari with him mm-hmm. and you don't really need the terrorist part that went with it. And so that just kind of, I think the, you know, that they had that big terrorist attack kind of at the same time where he did something controversial, I think with The Undertaker.
Yeah, he did that. So like,
it
I think
it was bad timing there, but I think WWF, WWE, whatever, they could have easily just pulled him off TV for a couple weeks, brought him back and just get rid of the terrorist part of it. You know, the guys with the masks.
Yeah.
And continue on with the Muhammad Hassan gimmick. And it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, like just these days, never. Everybody's offended by everything. So you can't have stuff like that anymore.
Yeah. The moment somebody's offended by something, it'll end up on Twitter or something. But I mean,
you got just last night on Raw, you had Matt Riddle mess up his line and kind of say, "I goofed," and walk. And you have people that are saying, "I bet Vince McMahon had him saying something racist," and he refused. Jesus Christ, people, grow a fucking brain. This is not what's going on. Like, people are beyond stupid.
We mentioned the American Hero. Right when this event happened, this was the time frame where this was the first WrestleMania that Jesse Ventura wasn't on the commentary with this. So they had like a revolving door with commentators on that, with Bobby Heenan and Gorilla. So we talked about our American Hero there with Sergeant Slaughter, but to start off this event, we had Hacksaw Jim Duggan come out in what seems to be one of Jay-Z Flair's suits out of the closet. Good friend of the show, Devin, wanted us to touch on this because he saw it as well as both of us. What did you think of Hacksaw coming out doing commentary? Obviously, this is that time frame in between commentators when Jesse wasn't on here for the first time in a number of years. So they had to kind of call an audible.
Yeah, Jesse not being on there was different than WrestleMania's past, but I really, really loved Gorilla and Bobby. And Gorilla and Bobby and Gorilla and Jesse is my childhood. So I, you know, watching primetime wrestling, you get Gorilla and Bobby. So it didn't really, you know, that was fine. And you go back through and listen to some of his Bobby Heenan's one-liners and things throughout this event. And it was a thing of beauty. You go back to the Demolition and Tenryu and Katao match. Some of the stuff he said was absolutely hilarious that, like, once again, people would be up in arms over everything because they would be highly offended over it or whatever. But it was funnier than shit.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't take things too seriously, I mean, Bobby Heenan could never be in the world of wrestling these days.
Mm-mm.
I mean, people would be going crazy. I tell people all the time, they're like, "We want the Attitude Era back." Motherfucker, you couldn't handle The Rock. So these days, this day and age, you couldn't handle The Rock and what he's going to say, Bobby Heenan and what he's going to say. You'd all be too offended.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having Hacksaw Jim Duggan come out was a head scratcher, and he's beyond terrible on the microphone. So I have no clue what the hell they're thinking for that first match. So if you guys don't understand what we're talking about, the opening match of WrestleMania 7 was the Rockers versus Haku and the Barbarian. Now, Haku and the Barbarian were part of the Heenan family. So Bobby Heenan went to the ring with them for this match. So they had a guest commentator for the match, and it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And he sucked just like he would probably imagine he would. So I don't know why they didn't have Lord Alfred Hayes come out for that match. That's probably something I would have done. I don't think Lord Alfred Hayes was very good on the microphone either, but that's a role for him. You go back and watch some of the older WWF at the Garden or WWF at, you know, in Boston or Madison Square Garden. Sometimes you'd have Sean Mooney on the microphone with, you know, whoever it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind having, why wouldn't he be on the microphone there? So there was two matches where we had guest commentators. So the opening match had Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and then obviously Mr. Perfect versus the Big Boss Man, Bobby Heenan, once again had to go back to the ring. So we got Lord Alfred Hayes for that one. So I'm not really sure why they decided to have different ones for those two matches. I mean, I get it. Bobby Heenan is a regular announcer with them at that time. So obviously you want him on the main card, but I think even if it was Vince McMahon that came out for the two matches, somebody, but Hacksaw Jim Duggan, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, we even saw later in the pay-per-view too, we saw this was the first time where we legitimately saw a lot of the celebrity hosts get involved. You know, we had Alex Trebek as a ring announcer of the main event. We had Regis Philbin on commentary. What was it? Mary Hart was the other one, right?
Mary Hart?
Who's a blonde?
You mean Marla Maples?
Or Marla Maples.
If you don't know who Marla Maples is, she was Donald Trump's second wife.
Yeah.
She was hot then, and she's hotter than fire now. And this is 30 years later.
Yeah.
Good Actually, God almighty.
30 years to fine. The... As we're... this is being released, it's 30 years last week. And I had to like double take. I'm like, holy Christ, that makes me feel older than shit.
Yeah, Marla Maples is almost 60 years old and she is still hot as fire.
You know why?
That shit's crazy.
Know what ended up happening? Because I ended up watching WrestleMania 3 today. That's what got me messed up, because she was doing the pay-per-view with or an interview with Macho Man before the IC title match. That's what got me mixed up. But anyways.
another part of that, well, that was funny, was you had an interview with Tenryu and Katao with Regis Philbin.
Oh,
sitting there asking them questions and they're just looking at him. And then he says Toyota.
Oh,
Isuzu. You saw him like, again, people today, that's offensive.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
And I'm dying laughing. And it's things like that, that were, it was really good. And it's something that I picked up on watching again, because I haven't watched it in a few years.
And it gets you to pop a little bit too.
Yeah. So I loved it. I mean, I love those backstage interviews with them.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that the Peacock's going to be editing out, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They're going to take all the fun out of wrestling, I'm sure.
Well,
I mean, I get the editing of the Vince McMahon thing, although comedic, it's not the end of the world. I mean, they wouldn't edit the movie Django and Chains,
right,
or something like that. But I mean, it was comedic. Obviously, Booker T was sitting right there and knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't meant to be offensive at anything, but in poor taste, probably. Kind of funny, you know. It is what it is. But I would much rather see them just give us a warning or something. Yeah. This program has something that some could find offensive or sexual in nature or whatever the case may be. Give us a warning and let us choose if we want to watch it or not.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah. I guarantee, you know, the Nation of Domination, that's going to be gone.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the most talked about and funniest skits ever. It's going to be gone.
Yeah. Oh, the DX.
DX.
Yeah. But that was at that time, like you said, it doesn't really live up to the tells of time now. But we mentioned a few of the matches that kicked off there. That was, I always was a big fan of the Barbarian and Haku. They were really the underrated team that even in WCW, they never really got that push that they should have gotten outside of, you know, beating up people. Stiff in the ring and outside the ring.
Yeah, they never got what they probably could have gotten, but I mean, Barbarian and WWF was never really anything. He was part of Powers of Pain when he first came in. They were pushed for a little bit, then they turned, joined forces with Mr. Fuji, and it never really materialized. So he then went to the Heenan family, and he was nothing other than a glorified jobber, really. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he would beat enhancement talent and things, but Haku was kind of the same. I mean, the prior WrestleMania, he was one half of the tag team champions with Andre the Giant, but a lot of that was them just using Andre the Giant any way they could, and Haku was the workhorse for the team, and of course took the pinfall when they got beat by Demolition at WrestleMania 6. So it is what it is. I liked seeing the Rockers. They were a good team. They put on a good show, and you know, they called them the tag team specialists. But this is one of the issues that I have with this card was, you know, a match like this, it really didn't make much sense. A lot of these matches on this card had no buildup. So WrestleMania wasn't about, or WWE at the time, wasn't about really storylines for anything other than their major pushes. So you obviously had a storyline between Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. You had a storyline between Savage and the Ultimate Warrior. You know, you had a storyline with Jake and Rick Martel.
Oh, the blindfold match. Yeah.
So you had a storyline, you know, obviously with the Nasty Boys and the Hart Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hell, the storyline with Mr. Perfect and
Boss Man,
the Big Boss Man. It was Boss Man and Rick Rude were the ones that had beef.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, they said Rick Rude was suspended for talking about the Big Boss Man's mother. That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Hey, anything to make you believe what's going on. But that was, I don't know. I always thought that Mr. Perfect was one of the better sellers of all time anyways. And the Boss Man could always go.
It's just hard to see a card with Mr. Perfect versus the Big Boss Man. And then you have something like the British Bulldog versus Warlord. or the Texas Tornado versus Dino Bravo, when either Tornado or Bulldog easily could have been moved into that boss man role and had a much better match with Mr. Perfect.
Well, I know Kerry Von Erich, he had a good run with there with Perfect for a couple matches there. Well, was that after this, right?
He beat him at SummerSlam in 90 for the Intercontinental title.
So it was just before this. Okay.
So, I mean, well, it was SummerSlam 90, but then he lost it a couple months later.
Yeah, he didn't hold on to very long.
He was still being pushed at this time, but I mean, we could have gotten a lot more out of that than what we got.
I really thought I always dug Kerry Von Erich when he came in. Obviously, going back and looking at it now, seeing all his work back from the Mid-South days and NWA,
he was a damn star.
Oh yeah, the whole family was. It was stuff and stuff with between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. That's where the legendary storylines came from both sides. And I think it kind of fizzled out after he made it to the Federation because nobody knew who he was.
You didn't know him like that, but I mean, right. There's plenty of fans that know this, the younger core audience that WWE catered to didn't really know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. At that point, you go with what works. So let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
All right. Thanks to Mr. Rich Palladino for that. So Dave, with our Rants and Rave this week, I wanted to kind of hit on those nostalgic feels. And what better way to start off than what were your thoughts on this retirement match between Macho King, Randy Savage, and the Ultimate Warrior?
Well, I thought the match was well done. It's one of Warrior's better matches. So I think he got a few good matches out of Warrior in his career. The match with Hogan, this match with Savage, the SummerSlam 92 match with Savage. But you didn't get much more out of him that was worth anything. Mm-hmm. So this one wasn't bad. The storyline, obviously, with Warrior refusing to give Savage a title shot, and Savage cost him more of the title at WrestleMania, obviously built up to this match. I would have liked to have seen this not be a retirement match, probably, since the fact that Savage was back within a matter of months just kind of shits all over that. You know, a match with the magnitude of the Ultimate Warrior and the Macho Man Randy Savage doesn't need to be a retirement match.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the same thing could have been done. You know, it all could have been done the exact same, even with the turn at the end where Sherry Martel turns on the Macho King and starts beating him up after losing to the Ultimate Warrior, and Elizabeth coming and making the save. It all could have been done without the retirement angle. You know, Savage still could have taken some time off after this. It's no big deal. So I would have liked to have seen it not be a retirement match, because it just makes no sense when it's a retirement match and then they're back in a couple months.
Well, and I think they could have booked it really differently, because they could have still kept this retirement match stipulation. Not here, though. I think, like you said, this should have still been a match between Savage and Warrior. But a year from here, we're going to see Savage win the title from Flair.
Yeah,
so, WrestleMania.
Savage, a year later, Savage wins the title after having retired the year before. It's stupid. I mean,
right.
That shit that doesn't make sense.
Well, they could have even had that been a retirement match, because, you know, hindsight being looking at it now, after that WrestleMania 8 at the Hoosier Dome in Indiana there, Flair was pretty much gone after that. He was on his way back. I think it was pretty much early 93. He was back in WCW.
Well, he left. He wasn't gone after that. He won the title again after that.
What? But back in 93 there, he was gone. He was over in WCW by 93.
He left the WWF in a loser leaves WWF match.
That's Mr. Perfect. Yeah,
one of the first Monday Night Raws.
Yeah. So that was early 93 there, or mid 93, something like that.
Right, but that's the only reason he left, though, was because when he was champ the second time,
mm-hmm.
they decided to make Bret Hart champion. and pretty much told Ric Flair that they're going with a youth movement.
Mm.
So there wasn't much more for him there. So that's why they let Flair go. I think had they had something more for Flair, I don't think Flair would have left.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously left, went back to WCW. I think he got the book at WCW too. So he became their booker when he went back.
Was it right off the bat though? Because I think Dusty had the book for a little bit there.
Yeah, but at some point thereafter, Flair got the book or was working with Dusty on the book.
Yeah, I think he got it.
But Flair couldn't wrestle for a while. So mm-hmm. he had a non-compete and he was in WCW, but he couldn't wrestle. So that's why they did that Flair for the gold stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I just,
I going back to the match though, I liked the match. Yeah. It wasn't a bad match.
It told a story.
Macho Man is really, really good. Was really, really good.
Yeah.
So he is by far one of my all-time favorites. And, you know, I hate that he never really got his win over the Ultimate Warrior, but then again, nobody ever really did. So would have liked to have seen Macho Man win, but obviously they're not going to let Warrior lose at Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So
yeah,
probably knew that wasn't going to happen. It just shows you how great Macho Man really was though. He could get a match out of the Ultimate Warrior.
And it was a decent match, but this is, and like you said, in our last segment, this card didn't, a lot of these matches didn't tell a story, but this one did.
And yeah, it was 14 matches on the card and probably 9 of them had no backstory at all.
Yeah, it goes to show you different times between then and now.
Well, I mean, even on your first WrestleMania, I mean, you have King Kong Bundy versus SD Jones.
Everybody and their mother was on the card.
I don't know if anybody ever saw SD Jones win a match.
Special Delivery Jones.
So I mean, that's like literally putting Barry Horowitz in a match against Vader at WrestleMania is essentially what you're doing there.
That would have been awesome. So I would love to see Barry Horowitz. You see him nowadays? He's actually still in pretty damn good shape.
Yeah, I started following him on Twitter or Facebook or something. He popped up on one of my timelines. I saw it. And I was doing it this past week, but it's just one of those things. I mean, the first few WrestleManias pretty much had some jobber matches. I want to say WrestleMania 2, Macho Man wrestled at WrestleMania 2 like against a jobber.
I have to go.
So it was a little bit different. It's just different times. I mean, obviously these didn't have jobber matches, but you had matches that literally ended in a minute and a half. Yeah. You had the Mountie defeating Tito Santana in like a minute and a half. You had, which really shocked me, obviously the Legion of Doom beating Power and Glory in less than a minute. You know, Power and Glory were pushed pretty big for a while there.
Yeah. It was Hercules and Paul Roma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they.
So, but it's the same thing, you know. Texas Tornado defeating Dino Bravo in 3 minutes. The Undertaker defeating Jimmy Superfly Snuka in 4 minutes. And speaking of that match, I think you want to do that match right. If you go back and watch it, Jimmy Snuka got zero offense the whole match.
Oh yeah,
four minutes he took a beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen him get a little bit of offense in that match, and to actually have hit the Superfly,
and have Taker kick out,
and Taker kick out. And not only that, but Taker kick out at like 1.
Oh yeah,
that would have been better.
But and this was the first. This was the beginning of the streak for the Undertaker. Obviously,
the first match of this, that was his first WrestleMania appearance. Yeah. Yes, it was.
And that, to look back on it now, and know that you and I both grew up watching the streak begin, and we saw it end. It's just,
well, not only that, but
the way he really did
think about it, he went WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
Against Jimmy Snuka was nothing. You know, he beat Jake the Snake at WrestleMania 8.
Mm-hmm.
He beat the Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania 9. Wasn't wrestle at 10. Beat 11. King Kong Bundy at 11.
Right.
I mean, his first real challenge wasn't until 12.
When it was a Sid, right? Or was it 12 Diesel?
12 was Diesel.
Okay, 13
was Sid.
Sid, okay.
But then, you know, you still can go back to a lot of his WrestleMania matches, and they were all shit. Just because, it wasn't like a big-time match. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, after that, his match, like, what was that? I think WrestleMania 18. Was that the one where he was...
Flair? Or Triple H? 18 was...
18 was... So it was 18 was Flair, so it'd be 19 when it was, like, him versus the Big Show and
A-Train.
Yeah, like, Jesus, this shit out of here.
Because he had Triple H at...
He had Triple H 17. At 18. Or...
17. Because 18... Or was it 18? 18 was Houston. Was 8? No, 18 was Toronto.
He had Triple H at 17.
Yeah, then he had Flair at 18 then.
Yeah, Flair at 18. And that was actually a hell of a match.
Well, and
just,
I think...
Some of them just weren't that great.
Well, and I think at that point, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, I may be off, the rumor innuendo is that Undertaker handpicked Flair for that match with him. Undertaker and Flair, no DQ. Yep, WrestleMania 18.
Yeah.
Six match on the card went over just over 18 minutes long.
But I mean, you really start to think about the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was later in his career when he really became like a workhorse.
Oh yeah.
And could really work. So, you know, it wasn't really until they stopped, you know, when he was the slow methodical character, it was kind of hard for him to actually have some of the matches he had, you know, later on in his career.
Mm.
But, you know, it's amazing seeing that, but just imagine if we got an Undertaker that worked like he did towards the end of his career early on. Obviously, he probably wouldn't have had the longevity.
No, I think would have gotten hurt a little bit
more. Could you imagine some of the great matches we could have gotten, you know, in those early days?
Mm-hmm. The mid or just about here, about 90, 91, 92.
You know, and Diesel still said that he was going over until he notified the WWF that he was leaving. And which, I mean, I don't know what to believe there. So,
yeah. Well,
Diesel also said he got Savio Vega fired, and Savio Vega was in the WWE for 2 more years after Diesel was already in WCW. So
everywhere you got that guy's, you got Diesel's opinion on it. You got another guy's opinion on it. And then somewhere in between is the truth with that, I think, especially in the wrestling business, because you never know who you're going to believe. So what we got for number two there, Dave?
All right. Number two, like we said, my favorite match on this card by far was the tag team title match between the Nasty Boys and the Hart Foundation. This match went just over 12 minutes. That's the perfect length, I think, for kind of a wrestling match. I don't need 35 minute spot fests. Let me get your thoughts on this match. It was a great way for the heels to win the tag team titles over the faces with the schnoz finish at the end with the Nasty Boys using Jimmy Hart's little helmet that he was wearing. And the crowd was electric for the Hart Foundation. Let me hear your thoughts on what I think was the best match of the night.
I thought it was up there. It wasn't my favorite match of the night, but I can see where you would be coming from on that. This is one of those other matches that we talked about that told the story. We talked about this, obviously the Slaughter and Hogan match. We talked about the retirement match with Savage and Warrior. We talked about Rick Martel and Jake the Snake. This goes in that aspect of it. But I've never been a big fan of the Nasty Boys. Nothing against them personally. I just never been a fan of their work. But this was a type of match where you knew who the good guys were and you knew who the bad guys were. A lot of the times at this time, and even now, you don't know who's who. Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? The Howard Foundation, even though they had the titles, they're still a very young tag team. You know, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, legitimately one of the best tag teams of all time. Didn't like the finish. Watching it when I was, 6 years old at this time, 7 years old maybe. But now looking back at it, I got it. I like these types of finishes because it makes sense to the story. When you're just doing it randomly, willy-nilly, on random feuds, that doesn't make a damn bit of sense why they're doing it. When you see a match like this, it was a decent match. I'll give you that. It was a very good match. Best match on the card? Maybe not on my end of it, but...
Well, I mean, the only other one that even came close was Savage Warrior.
True. I'll agree with you on that. But one of the sneaky good ones, too, was Perfect and Boss Man.
Nah.
Well, that's another one that told a little bit of a story, but you get the powerhouse of the Boss Man going against the athletic ability of Mr. Perfect. I'm not saying it was completely better than this, but it was pretty damn close.
Yeah, that match just had, I mean, they had to bring Andre out just to get something going, even for Boss Man. So it's nah.
Yeah, but I still think at this time, I think Boss Man is still a little bit, even though he was with the NWA previous to his run here in the Federation, I think he's still a little bit green here, in my opinion. Because he didn't really get those runs that he even deserved. He was a good worker, man. If you're talking 91, he was with the company, until 99, 2000?
I mean, he left in 93 to go to WCW.
Yeah, for a cup of coffee, and then he came back, but...
But he was in WCW till 98. What are you talking about?
Oh, because he was part of Dungeons & Doom.
Yeah, with Dungeons & Doom, then he went to the NWO, Big Bubba.
Oh, that's right. It's been one of those days, man. But yeah,
he came back right before Survivor Series 98 to WWE.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, man, this I dug the match. I really like, you know me. I like the good old tag team matches, and this was one of those up there too. One of those great matches on the card, or one of the great matches of this time.
I'm not buying it. I'd rather have seen Perfect versus Kerry Von Erich or British Bulldog or something. Bossman didn't do it for me at this time.
Oh, against Perfect, you mean, or just in general?
In general. I mean, Bossman, who did he beat to get a shot at an actual legit title? Because, I mean, the Intercontinental title actually meant something back in that day.
It wasn't
the joke that it is now.
He beat the Mountie. Was that at WrestleMania?
He beat the Mountie at SummerSlam.
Or SummerSlam after that. Okay. Because I know he won the IC title.
Jailhouse match.
It was, yeah, because it was New York City.
The Mountie gimmick was just really getting started here.
Yeah, they're trying to get him over. Good old PCO. All right,
well,
so
Mountie's not PCO.
Quebecers.
PCO was part of the Quebecers.
Quebecers. Man, yeah, I am
this
off
is
tonight.
Jock. This is
Jock. Yuck. I am off tonight, man. I am off tonight. All right, man. What's our last topic for this segment?
All right, last topic for the day. Now, this match had 14, or excuse me, this card had 14 matches on it. And like we've talked about, we had 8 or 9 of these that didn't last, you know, that were all under 6 minutes probably. Do you prefer a WrestleMania with 14 matches? Or do you prefer a WrestleMania with, say, 8 or 9 matches and then having a big battle royal to get all the other names in there to get a payday? Now, the reason I ask is because, remember, back in these days, your WrestleMania cards for the pay-per-view were only like 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't 4 hours. It wasn't 5 hours. It wasn't 6 hours. Some of this shit we get nowadays, it's too damn long.
Yeah.
So which do you prefer? A 3 hour card with 14 matches or a 3 hour card with 9 matches and battle royals?
So my one question I had about this was, and you're gonna get at me for saying this, but do you consider like Money in the Bank matches part of a battle royal, like a battle royal-esque, or do you mean actual battle royals?
Well, I mean, that's what you're getting. You're getting battle royals with 20 people in them so you can get paydays.
Right. In that aspect, if it's just straight up battle royals, I'd rather go with about 13 or 14 matches, just because battle royals should be something special. It shouldn't be done all the time, even though they were. You should have one battle royal a year, and that should be the Royal Rumble. 13 to 14 matches, you're going to have enough guys on the roster at this time to have decent matches, or you could put enough people out there to get that payday, like you said, and not necessarily throw them. Oh, let's throw them together in a battle royal. I've never been a fan of the battle royal outside of the Royal Rumble, just because there's so much crap going on. There's so many moving parts. I'm
not a fan of battle royals.
Yeah.
I especially hated WCW World War III with 60 people in three rings.
That was ridiculous.
And not only that, we're looking at the three small little screens on our television trying to figure it all out. The Royal Rumble is the way to go.
Right.
So I love the Royal Rumble. Probably my favorite event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Royals don't do it for me. They're dumb. You know, there's just too many people in there at once. and I'm not a fan. I would much rather prefer to see more matches on the card than, you know, a fewer number of matches and then a couple of Royal Rumbles or whatever. So if I can get 10 to 12 matches that actually have a storyline, I'm all for it. I don't, like I said before, I don't need 30 minute matches. I would prefer them not to be 3 minute matches either, or even in the case of this card, a couple of them in the 1 minutes, but I don't know why you can't have a couple of 7 or 8 minute good hard hitting matches and call it a day. See, the problem is you get your WrestleManias and things like that, and you got to have 412 false finishes in every match. Everybody's got to kick out of everything. And then, obviously, you know, the next night on Raw, they'll get pinned by, you know, a headbutt to the back when the ref's not looking. So just make it like it always is. So we don't need a million matches with no buildup. But we don't need a shitload of battle royals either, because those are old and the same thing. And I mean, nobody ever remembers the Andre the Giant battle rumble winner. I mean, who cares?
Right. You know, and if it's done correctly, you know, like the one that they had at WrestleMania 2, that was perfect, because they had to have those three different locations. They needed something. But battle royals, I'm not completely against them, but don't put them out every freaking time. You know, leave some time in between them.
I'm against everything that doesn't have a meaning to it.
Yeah.
You won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. What does it get you beside a trophy? Nothing. So why are you wasting your time?
The greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Right. It got you nothing.
Right. Look how well it did for Braun.
You know, that's why, like, I like that the fact that the old Royal Rumbles were stupid because the winners got nothing.
Before they had the title.
Before they made it, you know, yeah. You get the shot at WrestleMania. But the winners didn't get anything. So what was the point?
You're in the record books. I don't know.
So, like, you win the Royal Rumble, you get the shot at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, it should have been like you win the King of the Ring, become King of the Ring, you get a shot at SummerSlam. Something like that. I mean, have it make sense.
Yeah.
You know, you have teams at Survivor Series. Teams are winning. What do they get?
Yeah.
What does somebody get? So it just, things need to have meaning. And, you know, it kills me when you're listening to other podcasts, you know, like especially Bruce Pritchard's podcast, when he's talking about, you know, well, Vince, what are we going to do about this? And Vince says, oh, just who cares? The fans will forget anyway. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Why? We didn't forget. You remember this stuff. And it's silliness. There's got to be a reasoning behind it. Fans just don't forget. So make it make sense. That's the problem.
It's the old adage that he used to say, I know what the fans want better than they know what they want.
I mean, it's just sure. Like now. You talk about today's product. We just had Sasha and Bianca Belair team up, and now they're fighting. Well, who the fuck didn't see that coming? So, hey, let's roll it back, and 2 weeks later, let's do it with Raw. Let's do it with Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Gee, I wonder what the fuck's going to happen here.
They're gonna put Charlotte in the match. but yeah, it's a slippery slope. I like at this time, even now, I'd rather have them have a, you know, 7-10 matches, especially now when there's two nights, have it be 7-10 matches, give or take each night, because that'll give you enough time to get guys and gals out there that deserve to be on that card, to deserve to be, you know, to get that payday.
That's the whole thing. You know, I'm sorry, but the likes of wrestlers like Titus O'Neil. And I mean, right now, even thinking about like Drew Gallup, what's his name? Drew Gulak.
Gulak.
You're not being used on TV. We don't need to see you on WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, I get that aspect.
If you're
of
a
it.
Superstar and you're only getting put on TV for episodes of Superstars or main event or whatever, we don't need to see you in a match at WrestleMania in a battle royal. You're not gonna win the shit anyway.
Oh, so no, not main event. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I love Ricochet and think WWE's using him completely wrong.
Yeah, we've had at this point,
what business do we have seeing Ricochet or Aleister Black at WrestleMania when they haven't been on TV in 6 months?
It's just they don't have enough time. This time frame, we're talking 91 to say 95. They had the time to tell those stories because A, they didn't have as many pay-per-views as they do now. B, they don't have as much advertising and advertisers to do ads for.
Well, they have the time. They have the time. Look at the buildup for The Fiend and Randy Orton. Shit's been going on for 4 or 5 months now. You have the time.
Yeah. They just don't want to. They don't want to use it. Yeah.
Problem is Vince McMahon's become schizophrenic and changes everything. 1 minute he wants this, the next minute he wants that, the next minute he's back to this, the next minute something totally different. So we don't know what we're getting.
I'm sure the WrestleMania card will change by the time it happens too. It'll probably change 3 times. But let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Paladino.
The following contest is scheduled for 10 minutes and revolves around you. It's listener questions.
Hey guys, this is MGB Graham from the MGB Wrestling Podcast and the Good Cop Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast, both over on Visionaries Global Media. My question for you is, with the Ultimate Warrior Randy Savage retirement match featuring during WrestleMania 7, what have been the good cop moments and bad cop moments from retirement matches all time? Thanks a lot, guys. Look forward to hearing your answer.
All right. Thanks to the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. Go follow them at Good Bad Wrestle on Twitter. Big friends of the show, so we appreciate that. So, Dave, good and bad, best and worst, whatever way you want to look at it, retirement matches of all time. Good ones. There's only really two that really jump out to me when I did my research, and they both involved Shawn Michaels. Was the Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match that retired Shawn Michaels. And the one before that would have been the Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels match that retired Ric Flair. Toss up in between both of these, whichever one that you liked more. I leaned a little bit more towards the Undertaker and the HBK just because it was a little bit better of a match on the whole than Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, but for the most part, those are the only real two that jumped out to me when I did the research. Obviously, there was some other ones that that happened, but not to the magnitude of these two, I don't think, anyways.
Yeah, I'll have to say there's one more that I just thought of off the top of my head that I remember being just absolutely brutal, and that's Triple H versus Cactus Jack at No Way Out 2000. Retirement match.
Okay.
It was in a Hell in a Cell, title versus career.
Yeah.
That one was brutal. But we go back to then. He wrestled at freaking WrestleMania a month later.
As Mick Foley.
I mean, that's just, officially, that was pretty much his swan song there for a while. But
right.
That was a brutal match that I thought of just now that I remembered and really enjoyed. I was there for Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. I liked that match, but at the same time, I don't think anybody thought Flair was going to win that match.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of hurts. The Shawn Michaels Undertaker match at WrestleMania 26 was just incredible. I don't think the match was as good as the matches as they had at WrestleMania 25.
Right.
But I think both of them should be no less than 5-star matches.
I'd have to go back and even look. I don't even know if they were 5-star matches.
They
should have been, but I think they were too, but I wasn't 100% positive. But yeah, that was, I think everybody can agree to disagree or agree, whatever, on that, where 25 was better than 26 as far as the Undertaker Shawn Michaels matches.
I mean, you can't get it wrong. It doesn't matter which one you prefer. They're both freaking amazing.
Yeah, you can't. You can't go wrong with either one of them. I mean, obviously we knew Ric Flair wasn't going to win, but even with knowing that, they still told that story in the ring. Shawn Michaels could have a match with a broomstick, the old adage, and Ric Flair for the better part of his career could as well. And they told that story of having Ric's family in the front row that stuff sells, man. That one sell, that makes money. But one thing that didn't make money is my worst retirement match of all time. And it's a double retirement match, believe it or not, from WrestleMania 20. Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. This wasn't an official stipulation as far as being a retirement match, but hindsight being 2020, we all the fans pretty much knew that Lesnar was leaving the company to go to the not the Twins to the Vikings to play football or try out for the Vikings, and Goldberg was going wherever Goldberg wanted to go. And the crowd let him know that. They booed him. I remember watching this match live.
Oh, yeah, they shit all over him at Madison Square Garden. And for, I'm glad they did.
And the only silver lining in this match is that Stone Cold Steve Austin was a special guest referee. That was the only good thing about this match.
That's what I'd like. I'd like to have seen Steve Austin get mad at them. And for them, there had not to been a winner between Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And for Austin to just beat the shit out of both of them. That's how it should have ended. Well, I'm not quite sure how they came about. Well, let's let Goldberg go over why. They literally should have had Stone Cold Steve Austin brutalize the fuck out of both of them and walk out of the ring drinking beer.
As he should. That's hell yeah.
Why am I not a writer for WWE? I'll give you one more that
I don't know
was on my mind that nobody will think about. But as a 13-year-old kid, this match meant everything to me. And I legit didn't know who was going to win, and it scared the shit out of me. And this is WCW Halloween Havoc 1994. Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair in a retirement match inside a steel cage.
Well, they finally got that. And because they finally got that match that they should have gotten in 92.
Well, I mean, they had already wrestled a couple of times before then. They wrestled at Bash at the Beach when Hogan won the title from Flair. Then they wrestled at Clash of the Champions. But this was the retirement match for Halloween Havoc. And this is where we saw Brutus, Brother Brutai, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, turn on Hogan at the end. He was the masked man with the pipe that hit him at Clash of the Champions. And this led to Hogan versus Butcher at Starrcade. But as a kid, you know, 13 years old, I loved this match. I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan and was very worried that Hogan was going to lose this and retire. So didn't want to see that happen. But, you know, I mean, shit, but this is a Ric Flair retirement match 13 years before the other Ric Flair retirement match we just talked about.
Yeah.
It's wrestling. None of this shit even matters. I mean,
it never does. Never does. Never makes any sense.
The only one that ever really retired and stayed retired was Shawn Michaels up until he had that tag match last year. He had actually stayed retired.
Yeah. When a lot of people, well, didn't Austin ever came back another time? Did he? I don't think so.
Austin never officially had a retirement match.
Oh, I thought you meant just retired as in general, but no, to have a retirement
match. Lost retirement matches.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, shit. Foley's wrestled a million times after his retirement match. Hell, he wrestled a month later at WrestleMania.
And then he went to TNA. Well, yeah, it was just absolutely horrendous. And like I said, the fans let him know that, and Stone Cold ended up stunning Goldberg at the end, or Goldberg at the end of it anyways. So it didn't really make any difference anyways.
He should have beat up both of them and walked out. Nobody won.
Should have. Well, see, that's why we should be writers more so you for the company. So want to give a big thanks to the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. Go follow them on Twitter at Good Bad Wrestle for that question. But lastly, before we close shop up for the night, Dave, how can they reach you on the Twitter gimmick?
You can reach me on Twitter at Dave in the QC. Look me up. My Instagram, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to ever get on there. My Facebook, I keep pretty private. So
yeah,
Twitter's where it's at. Dave at Dave in the QC. Look me up. Follow me. I'll follow you back.
There you go.
Talk about the show.
There you go. So you can follow the show's page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at underscore ringside rant. Go across all your major podcasting platforms. Follow, subscribe, rate, review, give us a 5-star review wherever you get your great podcasts. We're also thrilled to be a part of the Full Press Radio Network, as well as the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcasting Network. Great guys involved in both networks. So we're thrilled to be part of that. Head over to ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Check out the great merchandise that we have over there. Starting to get warm, guys. T-shirts, tank tops, V-necks for the ladies in your life. We appreciate each and every one of you that has interacted with us online, told us what you've been liking about the show, as well as what you guys want to see on the show. If there's anything, you know, any topics that you want us to cover, let us know. There's a poll out now for our next week's show. So check that out. And, you know, you could even become part of the show by asking a question. So follow us online, either Dave or myself. Those polls will be there. You can DM either one of us, follow either one of us, and send us your questions in, and we'll absolutely love to interact with each and every one of you. So, Dave, you got anything else for tonight or no?
No, that's it. Go Thunder Rosa.
There you go. And as always, thank you for joining us right here on the Ringside Rant, and we'll see you next time right here in Ranters Nation.